Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Giles Corran Has No Idea. It's called this not because I literally know nothing, but because it's all about the moment in the week when I have to sit down and write my column but have absolutely no idea what to write it about, which is where my wife Esther comes in, who, having read all the papers whilst I take the kids to school, always has half a dozen ideas picked out for me when I get back to be discussed at the kitchen table over a nice cup of coffee. I mean, it's sort of, you don't even know what I've just come down from upstairs and what the chat with Dan, the lovely boiler man, resolved. So basically, yes, no, this has been, I find it difficult to work when there's stuff, when bits of my house are falling down. And so where were we? About a week ago, or a couple of weeks, the boiler was making a bit of a noise. It was sort of in the morning, it was sort of going clugga 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 clugga, but boilers make noises, and so that's probably okay. And I looked at the pressure gauge, and it was down to about half a bar.
What happened was the boiler was making funny noises, then the lights kept cutting out, then we called an electrician, the electrician came round, couldn't really find a problem with anything, and then the electrician came back because all the lights kept cutting out, and he looked inside our boiler, which has already been changed once since I've been living in this house, and I've been living in this house for 10 years, and he found the boiler, the electrics panel of the boiler was just full of water, and he opened the front of the boiler and loads of water fell out.
And it's sort of not for the first time.
No.
Last year, the electrics all went out in the house, and I called Billy, my old boiler guy who came with the house, who I felt I should employ him because he's a good independent boiler, he's a nice guy, and over the years I've got to know him and all about his wife and his kids and all that. But last year, he rewired the boiler and the water all the wires were underneath the boiler and the water dripped onto them, and that, I'm not even a plumber, although my grandfather was, so I've got it in the genes.
So you know, you have knowledge that water dripping on electrics is bad.
Bizarrely, I felt it in my bones. And whenever anything went wrong, Billy would come round and service the boiler. The boiler would be fine, but every September he'd come round and for 50 quid he'd service the boiler, leave, and then it would be broken for the whole winter.
Yeah.
And we'd be shivering
the
in
first
rugs.
First cold snap of the year, every year, without fail, for 10 years, with whatever boiler we've had in this house, every cold snap, the boiler breaks.
And when you say every boiler, Billy's changed three times.
He has changed it.
The underfloor heating, which is working at the moment, but it didn't. We had it put in. It didn't work for 4 years. Mm-hmm. And every time Bill would come round with a different solution.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the pump. If we fit a radiator, that'll bleed off the thing. If we depressurise the thing, and he didn't charge us ever because it never worked.
Yeah.
So he was cool. He said, I'm not overcharging the Corrans. No, but for 4 years we had no heating in the kitchen because he couldn't make it do. But still, I relentlessly think he's an independent trainer with a family to support. I'm not going to pay all my money to someone like Pimlico Plumbers, but then every time I had to call Pimlico Plumbers at 3 a.m. to come out at their vast rate and mend it. So this time, Pimlico guy comes, some millennial hunky fellow, just one down from a scaffolder in the fantasy world of the domestic housewife. He's come and he's mended the thing.
My scaffolder thing was only when I was pregnant and very, very hormonal.
Yeah, really. And then
So the baseline is that the Pimlico Plumbers are upstairs replacing our boiler with a new one, and then now what's happened?
Well, no, what happened was that I wanted to get Billy to come back and fix it because...
Oh, God almighty. It's very sweet, your loyalty to these people who are rubbish, like your optician who was always...
I would just like to cite your interior designer.
Don't you dare.
A little parenthesis. While the guys are upstairs mending the boiler on the second floor, where the bathroom work began, I think, on July the 15th and was slated to take 10 days. How's that coming along?
So tell me what's
happening. Do we have surfaces to put things down on?
So tell me.
Do we have lights? No.
We do have lights,
and in
actually.
Fact, they have to finish, they have to tidy up their boiler fitting by 3 p.m. because that's when a new set of builders, because the last set disappeared, come to do some more tweaks to the 3-month bathroom project. Small bathroom.
So tell me what's happened next with the boiler.
So what happened yesterday was that I got a phone call from Pimlico Plumbers and I was at work. And I said, how much is it going to be to fit this new boiler? Knowing that they're a bit expensive and thinking, but it's not the emergency rate. It's during the week. It's probably fine. And I said, how much is it going to be? And he said, well, it'll be the boilers and the... And I was thinking, it'll probably be $4,000. I really hope it's not $5,000. $7,500. But I was panicking and I had to... So I said, okay, to $7,500. Well, the pit of my stomach just fell through the floor. I mean, I'd literally have to talk about the boiler on this podcast for 3 years to pay back just merely the fitting of that boiler. And I bloody going to.
We're going to have to rename it Giles Corran Has Got No Boiler.
Yeah. And then
just talk about the boiler for 3 years.
Watch the listeners drain away.
Even like faster so than they are already.
Bilge water. But I've already got them in there and they're doing it.
Yeah.
$7,500.
Yeah.
But I panicked and I phoned the bank and tried to stop the payment. First of all, I tried to pay the half of the seven, because you have to start. They wanted $3,500 just to start. And American Express turned it down because they know perfectly well how it's too much. So Amex turned down the payment, so I couldn't even get air miles. So then I went through to the bank and then I paid that. And then I tried, and they said it was too late to take it back. Anyway,
what's happened? And you went upstairs and you came down quite pale from a conversation.
So I came down just now. So I talked to him and said, Do I want these filters? If I put the filter on, then the valent boiler, can the warranty will be 10 years, not 7 years.
Oh, yeah.
And I just thought, it's immaterial. It's a piece of paper that says warranty, which we'll lose by the end of next week and won't. But for it to be valid, you need to get a flush on the system. Okay, so because the water, as you saw, that was pouring into the boiler, it's very dirty. And it's why the radiator in the hall has never worked. How long will that take? 2 days.
2 days.
So anyway, that's just another 2,000. So we are up to basically 10,000 on the boiler. How much was the bathroom? 15?
Ish.
That's 25k on on washing. And when we go to the baths, like the Romans. Oh, tie it into new story.
Yeah.
Story in the Times today. Looks like Iron Age Britons actually had baths before the Romans came. But they didn't have Pimlico. So what did they do when it went wrong? They called round Billy, who came round and said, that'll be a Warren Sprocket that sprung a doobry. And then when it didn't work, they cut him off and buried him in a pit with a big belt buckle that looked like an iPad.
Yeah.
Anyway, I found it very hard to work. I wrote a restaurant review yesterday. All I could think about was the boiler. So the restaurant review is almost entirely about boilers. Mm-hmm. Later today, I'm going to go and write a column for Saturday. It'll be mostly about boilers. And that's the podcast coming towards the end of the time I have this morning. And it's entirely about boilers.
Mm-hmm. Should we talk about something else then?
Okay.
Okay.
Do you remember I said last week about Taylor Swift and what the Times does?
Taylor Swift, who you're not obsessed with, yes.
Taylor Swift. Okay. The story is it's a story about Taylor Swift's music, but look at the picture.
She's like the 12-foot woman in
she
that
is.
Picture.
They just show a picture. This is the Times, the newspaper of record, which I was saying whenever any paper has any story about Taylor Swift, or frankly anything, a story about the buses, it's an excuse for a picture with a camera taken. It's basically an upskirt.
It is an upskirt.
That is just a sex photo.
This actually links to, I can't really see how it's a column. This links to a thing where obscene medical textbooks... About what the
you've gone way past into the foreign pages.
I have, haven't I? Maybe there it's maybe
it's the you know it's today's paper. It's nearer the front. It's on the left hand side. It's there. It's on the back of the Taylor.
It's on the back of the Taylor Swift. Is Cambridge is sorry for soft porn textbook. Photographs of glamour models have caused embarrassment for Cambridge University's publishing arm after they were found staring out of one of its medical textbooks. Basically, glamour models having their feet massaged and their boobs felt by faceless male. Hands. Examination techniques in orthopedics. I mean, it really is.
But what is it? Are they porn actors? Oh, two of the girls went on to be page three girls, or had been page three girls. Can I just point out that this textbook is from something like 2002?
Let's have a look. Yes. The university apologised not only for the 2002 first edition of Advanced Examination Techniques in Orthopedics, but also for its attempt to improve the 2014 second edition. Critics pointed out that although the glamour models had gone, the doctor was still a man and the patient a woman in her underwear.
Yes, but you've got to have a picture of something. And Cambridge just apologises about everything all the time. These are pictures from 2002. Advanced examination technique. What is wrong? Do you think those pictures are wrong?
Yeah, 100% I do.
And do you think Cambridge have to apologise?
What, he's looking at her feet. Why is she in her bra and knickers?
In the surgery.
Why can't that be a woman examining her, not a man?
How do you know it's not a woman?
Because those are a man's hands.
That's not... He might have started life as a man, but this is 2019.
Yeah, okay, whatever.
You can't just say that someone with big hands is probably a man. It's not really a column, is it?
No, it's not really a column. But I just thought it was a funny, fun diversion. John Bercow! Order! Shall we talk about John Bercow?
I've got a
order! I did it much better earlier on. Didn't I, Ben? My one earlier on was much better.
He does it very long. Order!
Order! Like that.
Really relishing it because he knows that they'll probably put it in the highlights package.
Do you think they do? Do you think speakers do that?
So no, they get only the, him.
How I was trying to remember how Betty Boothroyd used to say it.
She was at a slightly squawky northern bird, like someone in Betty's tea room in Harrogate telling you that you're fat rascals.
Can you please explain to me, and please go on a full mansplain, because I don't really understand what the speaker does and why they're so important. They just stand there and why does everyone hate Bercow?
Those are two different questions. The speaker is an MP who's chosen by the House from either side, who's ultimately politically neutral, though, who keeps order, who knows how Parliament works, knows the procedure. Most importantly, when ministers... You're grinning at me. You asked me a fucking question. If you don't care how our parliamentary democracy works, then don't fucking ask.
I'm laughing because you just had a funny look on your face when you were doing order, that jump back out order.
This is the shit I'm dealing with.
It was a very good impersonation of John Bercow, though. It was most
Are you bringing this round to try and... Are you laughing because my impersonation was so good? Or the very notion that I should take parliamentary democracy seriously and try and explain it to my airhead wife?
I was really, really impressed and touched at how hard you were trying to do a really good John Bercow order. It was really good.
So I had my concentrating face on.
Yes!
Which you haven't seen for some time. Jesus. Just keep laughing because we can fill the long gaps in this podcast made by you not saying anything remotely sensible with you just laughing. But you didn't laugh when I did my impersonation. Order! You laughed when I tried to explain the function, the ancient function, the 400-year, the man who sits in the wool sack. That's actually the one in the Lords.
That's in the Lords. And they got rid of that anyway. I sometimes things that are very funny only strike you as really funny a little bit later.
When your husband's talking about something serious.
Can we, honestly, I want to know about this because I do vaguely know what the speaker does, but you know more because you used to cover Parliament for the Times. So, okay, what does the speaker do, darling?
When, for example, there's Prime Minister's questions or questions to a Secretary of State or a Minister in department questions, people stand up all the time and because they want to interject, and he decides who gets to interject, and he can choose people from the Labour Party or people from the Tory Party. He also makes big decisions about things like whether there are going to be votes, what votes are going to be tabled, the sort of proroguing of Parliament stuff.
Oh, really? So he can go, no, we're not going to do that. No, sorry, mate.
Yeah, he's like the school teacher, to put it in a situation you might understand.
Like the
judge who's arbitrating between two sides in debate. Okay. He has a casting vote in tied votes, I think. I might not have.
That sounds about right, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's a sort of situation I get into where I feel all important because I know more than you, but out in the wide world, it's less than almost everybody else.
I did used to know all of this, but I've just forgotten it. Okay,
you wrote down as a note for our sham of a podcast, where I've written down, quote, I'll miss John Bercow. So when I was covering Parliament... Now let me see how much of this I can say. I'll say it and then they can decide whether they want to put it in. When I was covering Parliament, John Bercow was a backbencher, and they all hated him because he used to jump up all the time, very erect, with his hand in the air, and he'd jump and bounce up and down all the way when they were talking. And the speaker then, Betty Boothroyd, found him infuriating.
Oh right, yeah.
And he used to jump up, and everyone would love him. And so I remember they had pagers in those days, and they didn't have phones yet. And I was working with someone who knew John Bercow very well, a female political reporter who had a very close and intense relationship with John Bercow, the Tory MP. And so she used to have a game that whenever he was talking in the House, she would text him a sexy message. on his pager, and his pager would go zzz, zzz, and we could watch it on parliamentary TV. This is before it was public, and you could see Burkow's pager in his pocket going zzz, zzz, and it was my friend texting, "Show me your pants, big boy."
How revolting.
Yeah.
I will miss
Burkow. Burkow wasn't married back then, so we're not impugning his fidelity in any way.
I will miss John Burkow because I will miss how much the Daily Mail hates John Burkow. And I also think that I'm always impressed by how resilient politicians are.
No, but him particularly.
Him particularly,
everyone
yeah.
hates him. Everyone wants him to resign. He's got that stupid voice. He just pushed on.
He just pushed on. He didn't care. He doesn't care. He just does it. He's been doing it forever. He's been doing it for like 15 years.
He's a massive Roger Federer fan.
Oh my God, that's always a bad sign. I like Roger Federer, but like Anna Wintour, John Burkow, what do they have in common?
Psychos.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's really sad. I'm looking at this picture of Taylor Swift's just unbelievable legs. And then underneath it says, holiday maker. Are you eating toast?
Yeah.
That's real toast eating, by the way, as opposed to the slightly shitty toast eating sound effect that Ben has made.
A slightly passagwe keeps on the sound
He keeps
effect.
Putting it on there. And it's a noise that's been made by Ben at home walking up and down on packets of Monster Munch. and they've put it in there to make it sound like my wife eating toast. When in fact, my wife eating toast sounds like this.
Yummy.
No, this picture of Taylor Swift, it's unbelievable. And those legs. And then underneath it says, holiday maker died of rabies after poor treatment in Morocco. And I think that's a shame. And then I look back up at Taylor Swift's legs and it's all right.
Okay. I think this story might genuinely be a column for you. Men happy to reach out to aliens. Okay. So this is a study conducted by Oxford University, someone who's got too much time on their hands.
Meanwhile, at Cambridge University, they're doing porno textbooks.
Exactly. But at Oxford. In the real university, researchers told the British Science Festival that 65% of men wanted to reach out to extraterrestrials compared with 47% of women. Now, I think this is...
What does that mean? How?
They were asked the question, if an alien life thing tried to make contact with you, would you accept the charges? You know, if like an alien rang you and said reverse charge call from an alien...
Nobody under 30 knows. Ben, do you know what a reverse charge call is? He doesn't
know what it is!
Do you really not know what it is? He doesn't know what
it
is.
Oh,
he
doesn't. God for that.
But I bet they don't, though, these young people. Were you actually phoning your mum from school, not having any money, because
reverse
in those
charges,
days, children, you had a 2p coin and you had to save it to buy 9 Beanos and a Mars bar. And you had the 2p, and you had to phone the actual operator.
Yeah.
Does this operator still exist?
Yeah.
There's an operator.
Yeah, 100.
If I dial 100 now, will there be a person there?
There will be a person.
But I don't believe you.
Okay, do it now.
I so don't believe you. On my iPhone.
Yeah.
Other smartphones are available. I'm dialing the operator. Yeah.
Maybe from a landline.
Well, our landline doesn't really work.
It does. What do you mean it doesn't really work?
Right. This is exciting. This is live techno shit. This is. Okay, now, Esther.
Yeah.
I don't think our landline does work. Okay.
100.
How do you make it do a sort of dialing tone?
Oh, it's not connected. I disconnected it to put the... Because when we had the power failure, I had to...
So when I say the landline doesn't work, technically what I mean is you can't make phone calls on it.
That's because I unplugged
it. So you're not arguing with me.
I recently unplugged it.
So we can't... Okay.
I'm sorry. I didn't think it's...
Fine, so we haven't got a landline.
No.
Okay, fine.
I just need to plug it back in.
Why was I talking about the operator?
I don't know. Who cares?
A reverse charge call was when you phoned the operator and said, I'd like to speak to mummy.
Can I speak to my mummy?
And can you phone her up and accept the charge? And then you'd hear your mum. I'd hear my mum going... the clink of ice in the gin.
Hello.
Hello. And the operator would go, I've got a call for you. Will you accept the charges? And my mum would go, who is it? And they'd go, it's your son. No.
Clipper.
And then I'd phone my dad and he would talk to me. Sorry. Okay. So yeah, men are happy to reach out to aliens.
Men would accept a reverse charge call from an alien, whereas women would were less likely. 65% of men compared with... Ben's got the giggles. Compared with 47% of women. I don't think this story is that interesting as it is, but you could use it as a peg for aliens coming to Earth. So you like write from the point of view of like an alien coming to Earth and what they can see.
Okay, well, because I think having sex with an alien would be really hot, and there's quite a lot of that actually on the internet.
That is actually, in fact, what that guy says.
What?
It's what the reporter says. Read the thing.
Stephen Hawking said, no, what's he got to do with it? So researchers said that men wanted to reach out to extraterrestrials compared with 47% of women who don't want to. Where's porn? Are you saying there is porn here?
No, I'm not saying there's porn.
Is this a joke? I'm looking through the thing where it turns out that the men would reach out to
aliens. It's in the mail. Colin Fernandez. Big fan of Colin. I'm a big fan of yours, Colin. If aliens make contact with Earth, they had better hope a man gets the message, for women are unlikely to want to reply. A poll shows that 47% of females would respond to a message from space. 2/3 of males would, although it is not known whether this is because they imagine the alien as some Star Trek-style beauty wearing a silver bikini.
Has he made that joke himself?
Yes, he has made the joke himself.
That's quite funny. Men would
Colin is
happily
breaking
reach out to aliens because humans won't fuck them anymore, so maybe Martians will.
Exactly.
Yeah, is that a column?
No, Ben hates it. Okay,
Ben's
fine,
made a bit
on.
Of a face.
God, well, those are my only stories.
No, come on. The new Bond film. There's two ways of coming at this one. There's two ways of coming at this film. First of all, do you know what it's called?
Is it called Horizons Are Never Tomorrow? Is it called Tomorrow Isn't There?
There is like an algebraic thing. They say you take death and some measurement of time and a meaningless compound word, killed by the clock.
Yeah.
Thursday always kills thrice.
Scope of death. That's quite a good one.
No, death scope.
Death scope. That's quite good. That's not bad.
Death scope is a compound word. That's like Thunderball, Goldfinger, Octopussy.
Oh my god. Oh, we wouldn't be able to write that now.
You wouldn't be able to. Dodeca vagina.
So more about Bond. You have, of course, history with Bond because they wouldn't. The Times would not print your thing about how James Bond is.
Ten years ago, before Me Too, before that, when I was the wokest person on the planet.
I know it seems funny.
It's extraordinary to think about. Skyfall came out, and I was so shocked and appalled by the sexism of it and the abuse of women in the way that I wrote a piece about it. I was appalled by things like the scene in which Bond identifies a girl in the casino as being a sex slave, and then like 20 minutes later he shags her in the shower.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's not good. Later, she is put on a shooting range with a glass of whiskey on her head. Javier Bardem, who is the baddie, says, see if I can shoot the whiskey off her, and goes, whoops, and shoots her in the head. And she dies and goes on the floor. And Bond goes, waste of good whiskey. And I was, Jesus. So I posted it on your...
You posted it on my then food blog, and I am still a little bit furious that it is the most read and the most commented thing that I've ever posted on.
Yeah, but it's also the most liked and commented thing that I've ever written. Carol Cadwallader, the sort of beacon of journalistic properness at The Guardian, liked it. Although she did tweet, quite surprised that Giles Corran has written this. She obviously had me labelled in the dark wanker cabinet at the back of the Guardian.
Well, I mean, I know lots of people do, but that's...
I hate Bond. I've always hated. I've just did Bond. I just think he's...
I've done quite a lot of Bond. Yeah.
I've also done parodies of Bond when Bond was a very rich Bond.
Oh, yes, that was really funny. I love that one.
That was like, if Bond was really rich. And he just like pays for everything.
Oh, yeah, I don't think we can cover Bond
again. I'm not necessarily going to do, but the thing... Okay, here's what's interesting about... Bond, No Time to Die.
Yeah.
But the story of the Times today... Filming in a hilltop village in Italy called Matera. And the mayor's really excited because it's a £10 million and counting bonus to the village. So they've arrived and they're racing these stupid cars around Matera, this quiet village. they've paid sort of £10 million to make it look more like a, to make it like spruce it up for the Bond film. And also there's going to be this massive tourist bump. So they've had to alter it to make it more Bondy, and then tourists are going to come. And I just thought, what about if they filmed the Bond film in Kentish Town?
What a brilliant idea.
Is that an idea?
But how could you spruce Kentish Town up?
Well, first...
It's the best place in the world.
What if Bond came on, like, bin morning, for example? And you just imagine the set designers, no, you know, number 33 hasn't separated its recycling and stuff. Where would they film? Your favourite shops? Bond would go into Meat.
Yeah, Meat. Save Michael.
Yeah.
All right, James.
I see the Rangers lost at the weekend. I just like a couple of lamb
Are
chops.
You Tottenham fan then?
Bond could go into Baron Wolf for a coffee. All the children running around playing with things.
Yeah, good luck having a car race around the streets on bin day with literally giant twin chocolate.
20 mile an hour speed limit.
20 mile an hour speed limit. Everywhere you turn, a giant, yeah, it won't be a minute, love, we'll move in a sec. Go round the other way. I now talk about my Good Behaviour Pasta job.
Yeah, of course.
Which is possibly the basis for your column.
Yeah.
Every parent in the country will know about the Good Behaviour Pasta
job. Although I've never heard of it.
Okay. Well, maybe that's all the problems is because I haven't done the Good Behaviour Pasta jar enough in this house. But it is possibly a basis for your column. Okay, so the Good Behaviour Pasta jar is you have a jar and you have a list of things that you can do to get a piece of pasta and then a list of things that you can do to get your pasta taken away. And when you have a certain number of pieces of pasta in your jar, you get something like...
This is dried pasta.
This is dried pasta, not cooked pasta. It's not like you have to earn your dinner.
You
like,
eventually get a meal.
I will cook the pasta, and if there's none in there, there's no dinner. No, it's not like that. Anyway.
So what kind of pasta shapes are we talking? Macaroni?
Little macaroni pieces.
And they're just counters?
They're counters, and then when you've got a certain amount, you can have... Sam wants an extra Nerf bullets for his Nerf gun so he can kill us in our sleep. Or something. I don't know what it is. I don't know what he wants. But
it's a reward system.
It's a reward system, and he's really excited about it, and I think it's going to work. And his behaviour yesterday after school up until bedtime was much, much, much better. And one of the key things about the pasta jar is if he uses a swear word, he gets a piece of pasta taken away. But if he hears us using a swear word, he gets a piece of pasta.
I mean, how delicate do I have to be? Good evening, Sam.
We're Hello. Going to work it out.
Does he have to call me Pater?
No.
How was your day? My day was fine, thank you. Ooh, you are behaving badly. We will have to do something about that.
We're not the Rees-Mogg, darling.
Sixth, alas, stop behaving.
Alas.
So, wait a minute, am I going to get a pasta jar?
Yes.
Is there going to be a daddy's behaviour pasta jar?
Yes, there is.
So, if I do something bad, like what?
Leaving that cutlery drawer open. All the time. I don't know why you can't shut that.
About drawers, you leave everything open.
I do.
You leave windows open in thunderstorms. You leave the car door unlocked most of the time.
So do you. I just don't tell you. I just don't tell you.
I never do. Ever. Ever. I always look.
You do. Right. Next time you do it, I'm going to send you. Next time.
Do I have a piece of pasta? Not on the podcast. People tune in to hear me swear.
No, they do.
People do. People on Twitter go on Twitter to say, "Dear Giles, it's my husband's birthday. Please tell him to fuck off on Twitter. It'll make his year." That's very confusing. So I need to keep swearing on social media at least just to pay for the boiler. So you're saying that me leaving the cutlery drawer...
I don't know why you can't...
You open the cutlery drawer when I'm unloading the dishwasher so that I try to pull the door down and it goes bang and traps my thumb on it. That's what you do. That's two pieces of pasta. What does your husband, to whom you made certain vows, get... When his pasta jar is full of pasta from doing good things like what? Buy you wine. What else do I have to do that's good? Shut the doors.
Shut the cutlery drawer.
Not swear in front of the kids. Do you then give me anything I want?
You can have...
I want sexual favours.
Can't we
schedule sex? We talked about it the other day and you claimed to be on the blob and I didn't believe you then and I don't believe you now.
I think you can extrapolate the good behaviour pasta jar out to other people. Like maybe... Scrap prisons, everyone just needs to have a good behaviour pasta jar.
Even murderers?
Well, no, they wouldn't commit murder because they're so used to their good behaviour pasta jar. Boris Johnson could have a good behaviour pasta jar.
Lying to Parliament or
exactly.
shouting at Carrie or having sex with people that aren't his wife or
Boris, another illegitimate child. That's a piece of pasta.
That's probably two pieces of macaroni. That's a piece of rigatoni.
That's rigatoni out your jar. Exactly. Is that anything?
I don't know.
Okay, let's move on.
Possible column. I do write about Gary Lineker from time to time. He's probably my most famous friend.
You are so desperate to...
Did I mention that I knew Gary?
You feel like you've mentioned it quite a few times and you feel like people aren't sufficiently aware that you are now friends with Gary Lineker. Although, would Gary Lineker say that he's friends with you?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a
He's
nice
not
guy,
ashamed
actually.
Of me like you. Gary, yeah, I mean, he hugs me.
Oh, does he?
When we meet.
He gives you a man, like a...
But partly because I meet him with JD, and JD gives me a hug, and then
so
Gary
can't just
stand.
You have a mutual friend in the nightclub owner, John Downey.
Yeah, and yeah, no, I just, you know, I'm going to keep on telling everyone how Gary's my mate until it appears on my Wikipedia entry.
What is your nickname for Gary Lineker, so everyone knows? What do you call him?
Gaz Lynn. I don't think I call it him to his face, and I think... No, wait a minute. What does JD call him? He calls him something like... right-wing gazer or something. He has some sort of joke because obviously Gary's very left-wing. Although I really respect all his politics, obviously. And he just thinks the right things about everything.
Yeah.
And people always say to him, stick to the football, Gary. And I go, no, Gary, tell me like everything about everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you know this shit.
Tell me what you
He's
had
so
breakfast.
Famous. Sometimes when we'll look back at his goals from the 1986 World Cup. And all of us will gather around and we'll eat some really posh food and have some wine. And then we'll look at the hat-trick against Poland. And Gary will look at it. And he did that and he goes, God, I was really quite good, wasn't I? And I go, oh, Gary, you were. You were really good.
He's a little bit like he's the third person in our marriage.
So Gary Lineker was interviewed in the Times and the headline they pulled out was, I'm not massively into sex. And yeah, and he's not, girls come flocking around him and he flirts with girls, but he isn't bothered about it. Because I think, God, the public eye, imagine the scandals there could be. What do you do? Do you shag him and then kill him like any normal person would? Yeah. No, he doesn't. He doesn't. He's just not really that bothered. And now he's given this interview. I'm not massively into sex, he told Janice Turner. And Janice is quite hot, in my opinion. I could imagine Janice went along to interview Gary thinking, well, maybe we'll go for a couple of drinks. And Gary had to say, I'm not massively into sex, Janice.
You have to try harder than that to put girls off. If you say, I'm not massively into sex, you will be with me, mate.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah, my God, that is a red rag to a bull, that kind of thing. Or like the thing he said about, I'm always really straight with girls I go on dates with. I say, I'm not looking for a relationship. I mean, there is nothing that is going to make a girl more keen.
I wasn't looking for a relationship, was I?
Sorry, what do you mean? You're looking for a relationship now. You're looking for like the next Mrs. Cora now. You're like, if Esther dies, who am I going to quickly go out with so I don't have to be alone on a Sunday morning?
I'm so glad you're confident enough that you feel it's only going to happen if you die. That's something.
I try not to think about the alternative.
I'm not massively into sex, Gary told Janice as she pressed him against the wall.
Yeah.
I'm not massively into sex. I quite like flirting a little bit, but that's all I do. And then after that, said Gary, it's like hard work. Going on a date, fine. And then, yes, come on, let's do it. Do we have to do all that?
Yeah.
And, you know...
He's turned into me.
He's turned into... It's another person. Wherever I turn, it's people who don't want to have sex. I should hasten to add, I don't want to have sex with Gary.
You don't want to have sex with Gary? What are you talking
hold
about?
Hold hands, maybe.
Yeah, you want to hold just hands little, and just cuddle, stroke each
tiny
other.
Little...
Well, no, he doesn't want to stroke you. I think you want to stroke... Look, we all want to stroke Gary Lineker, okay?
Do you think it was a coded message to me? Do you think Gary's noticing me hanging around, always wanting to have lunch, and he's just like, I'm not that into sex, okay?
Gary Lineker is talking to you out of your newspaper, Giles.
You've been listening to Giles Corran Has No Idea, with Giles Corran and Esther Walker. It's a Times podcast produced by Ben Mitchell. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast to avoid ever missing an episode. If you want to find out what I wrote about in the end, there's a link to the column in the podcast description. And for the full live experience, you can tune into my radio show every Sunday night from 7 till 10 p.m. on Talk Radio.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.